okay, workers that are adapting are adapters, right? And people that are eating are eaters, right? So what do you call people that are being resilient?
Hey everybody, pre-accident investigation and safety moment. How are you today? It's Todd Conklin. It's time. Oh, it's not safety moment. What's wrong with me? This is a full-blown podcast. I think I've lost my mind. Yes, it's true. My mind is gone. It happened, but that's what happens. It's so good to be back. I was gone so long. Holy cow, you don't know this because, you know, the podcast just kept humming along. That's what it does. But man, I was completely out of the world traveling like crazy, which is dumb, but we can talk about it later. It was fun. And I got to see so many great people. I got to meet a bunch of new people. I had an amazing time in Wollongong. That Global Safety Initiative Summit was great. The concert was amazing. Safety Stock, it was great fun. Then I got to go to the Boeing Aviation Safety Summit, which was super fun as well. I got to meet a whole new people, a whole new group of people, and introduce myself to a whole new world. And it was fun. It kind of sounded like I'm going to sing it. So I'm just going to break into song here in any moment, which, you know, could happen. That wouldn't be that unusual. That wouldn't be that weird. No, things are good. And it's, you know, it's towards the end of winter here in North America. I say end of winter. There's still plenty of winter happening, which is driving me crazy. But spring is nearby, which means good times will start happening and things will take place and amazing activities will transpire. So anyway, for everybody I got to meet new, it was sure great meeting you. I had the best time. And for those of you that I didn't get to meet, next time, I will hang out more. I mean, that's a promise. I can guarantee that's going to happen. Just kind of hang out for it and wait for it. What else do I have to tell you? It looks like there's a conference shaping up in the wind. I'll know more about it, but kind of set your sights if you want to for a classic fundamental approach to human performance with a whole gang of characters. And it'll be in September of this year. It looks like that's set up. More on that, great detail. I think it's going to be in Santa Fe, which makes me even more excited because, you know, that means I don't have to travel anywhere. You can come see me and we'll ride bikes and have a great time and all will be well. That is a promise for sure. What else? I have a little list of stuff I have to talk about. I talked about getting to meet all the new people. I talked about how much fun I had at the conferences. Got that. Talked about the new meeting that we're putting together. Jay and I have just been in meetings galore on this. I probably should talk about today's podcast because today's podcast is a special treat. So you're going to get to meet Lisa Land, and Lisa is remarkable. So first of all, you should know that she is currently working for the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, and she's in Vienna. And she works a lot with their human capacity and human capacity building. She is one of us, a great background in human and organizational factors, really strong background in human performance. And she gets to kind of look at it across multiple cultures. And that is what the conversation we have today is about. It's actually a remarkable opportunity to get together and just chat. And it's always so much fun to talk to Lisa just because she's got it going on. Good energy, fun to hang out with, you know, lots going on. I mean, it's fun. And you'll hear that in the conversation. That conversation is going to be an interesting part of what we talk about. You're going to really, really enjoy this podcast. So I'm not going to mess around much longer in the introduction because there's lots of pod for you to listen to. So just think about what's going on. You might take a note or two. That could be interesting, but listen carefully to the conversation we have. So without any further ado, it's my honor to introduce you guys to Lisa Land and see what you think. I think you'll find this to be a super interesting conversation.
And you can edit, obviously, before it goes online.
Easy.
Okay, cool.
Plus, it's such a good way to, I mean, it's just Oh, thanks. It's just such a good way to. I'm glad you said that. That would have been.
Can I put
bad.
My feet up?
Yeah, of course. Here in the wedding suite.
Yeah.
It's such a good way. It's a good, as Marshall McLuhan said.
Uh-huh.
The medium is the message. I'm constantly shocked at how many people listen to the podcast.
Incredible. And yeah, they're good.
I mean, it's thousands a day.
Todd, that's amazing.
It's crazy. But part of it is I think it addresses a need in how they get their information.
Meaning it fits in our current lifestyle.
Exactly.
And the way, yeah.
So they're getting it in the truck on the way to the site or
whenever they
on the bus or walking the dog or whatever.
Right.
Because I listen to, so I heard you say, what's the name of the podcast you love?
Which one? ForgeWorks?
No, the podcast you talked about.
Oh, Hard Fork.
Hard Fork.
So good.
So I listen, my favorite one, which you will love.
Okay.
It's called 99% Invisible.
I haven't seen that one.
So
wait, somebody has told me about
that. Oh,
listen to it.
You'll love it.
Okay.
I mean, it's
all
like
about the nuanced.
Well, it's about, so the premise is that good system design is 99% invisible. And it's about how systems influence humans around the world. But it's always, I mean, it's just super interesting. Come in. Thank I think you. I have to unlock the door.
Okay.
And now we're stalling because Lisa is unlocking the door. Yeah, come in. Yeah. Yeah. Because I want to get Lisa because I'm dying to get this podcast.
And I'm not holding you guys up from dinner or something.
Oh, no. God, no.
Okay.
You are.
I loved your psychological safety today. That was fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't long enough. But they never are.
Well, you probably went as long as you could. I mean,
well, that's all. They gave you an hour.
But that podcast is amazing.
Okay. I definitely will listen to it. 99% Invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure, of course.
So today it was shown a human system, and then I think it was job or organization. Do you remember? It was one of the presentations. Do you see human as part of the system?
I wouldn't make that a triad. I don't understand.
It was kind of a curious.
That's,
yeah.
I don't.
Okay. Good. We're
yeah,
aligned.
That's, yeah. I mean,
Yeah. You think system holistically.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I wouldn't think a system would have. I mean, there are components, but all of that would be the system.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, okay. The humans, that's kind of weird.
It was a little. Maybe I didn't understand how he intended it, but.
Oh, I spend most of my day not understanding stuff, so that's normal. So talk to me about your job. This is the most interesting job in the world.
It's pretty cool, Todd. You know, the same of moving to Los Alamos, taking Los Alamos job, the idea that you could influence a system from inside the system mm-hmm. as opposed from the outside looking in. It's the same with the challenge at the International Atomic Energy Agency. How do you influence all of these member states to get on the same page and be respective of their unique cultures and where they are in the process? It's fantastic.
And probably incredibly complex, just
yeah.
because nothing's probably the same twice.
Exactly.
Is it fertile ground? Are they interested in what you have to say?
I think I've gotten a lot of ground support.
Nice.
So I don't know if you were there yesterday, but this is the first time that we've ever had publications on either leadership in the nuclear industry or resilience.
Right.
And that's where I reached out to David Provan to pull him in the hopes that we could integrate some of safety differently principles into the way that the agency is doing work with member states.
And how's that going? I mean,
I think really well.
They're interested in it?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're just starting, Todd, but I think, again, at the presentation on Monday, the way the agency works is publications are everything.
Right.
The agency sets the whole direction through their publications, their credibility is found in them. And the utility of those publications is limited. So the real power comes, as you well know, in the application.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's where I'm trying.
But I would tell you the single best publication on organizational culture is one of yours. It's Tech Talk 1329. That is the best cultural maturity document. I have companies read it all over the world.
On organizational culture. Yeah. Yet, interestingly, that's not the most popular tech doc on culture. It's all safety culture.
You see, I don't think the safety culture document is as...
Neither do I. You and I are alike.
Yeah, but that organizational culture document, no one can touch it. I mean, it changed Los Alamos.
How interesting.
In
really.
Fact, the whole idea of vectoring left, which is a term they used at the executive level, was about the tech doc. So Tech Doc 1329 builds this little maturity model.
Yeah.
And you go from compliance to...
I remember, like...
I can't believe I can't remember.
And it finally goes into embedding.
Learning. Yeah,
like,
learning,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Compliance.
I can't...
Magic Chocolate Factory, the third... And then what it says is, or what I would do with it is say, put yourself on this maturity model.
Yeah.
And there's no wrong answer. Wherever you are is where you are.
Where you are.
The right question is which way are you vectoring? And man, at least with our community, with scientists,
that
resonates. Oh my God, it resonates like crazy.
I have to look at
because they're like, so if we move towards compliance, we're vectoring away from integration. And then these light bulbs go off and they're just like, why hasn't anyone told us this? And I'm like, well, no, this is not a secret. And it was written 25 years ago.
Yeah, maybe we're evolving past that as well. You know, this idea that it's a continuum removes a dimension of context.
But let me quote something back to you that you said yesterday.
Okay.
You meet the group where they are.
Exactly. And this is part of my point.
Yeah. And so the continuum, I think, is a really good starting place. But once they get to the integration side of that, then the continuum stops. So you got to go to somewhere else. And I think that opens up the ability to look much more holistically and to really make some changes. But I think the act of whoever put that document together, which clearly has to be either Edgar Schein or somebody who knew Edgar Schein. It's very Edgar Schein-y.
Yeah.
It's brilliant in that it sets the stage for the dialogue and it allows any member to enter at any place. And they're all going to enter in different places. And so what you see when you go to companies is you do the senior team and they'll put most of their entry points, we're solidly in compliance. Well, then the next conversation is, well, we need to move towards, vector towards this idea of integrated learning.
So this is what I was attempting to say a moment ago, and I'm glad I listened to make sure that, again, it's this kind of continuum process. And yes, fundamentally, we want to move to integration. Yet contextually, when we're compliant, and there are times when an organization
must be compliant.
Yeah. So it's more like, have you evolved enough through that continuum to then wrap back around in a very... Yeah.
That's beautiful. In fact, one of the things in our world, you could say, and other people in the podcast may not resonate as much with it as we do, is that you can talk about becoming a learning organization for the organization's sake, for the spirit of science, the spirit of research. But when you talk about things like security requirements, a mature organization is probably in compliance with security requirements. And there's not a lot of need. I mean, we can make a case that there's huge need, but for sake of this argument or sake of this discussion,
okay,
once you get to compliance and document control, it's probably as far as you need to go. Once you get the system so you're not accidentally releasing classified documents all the time,
understood,
you're probably fine,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and so some things can live in compliance.
Exactly.
And they're fine. Then.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
that sort of offered the opportunity then to have this idea, oh, well, not all activities are the same and the organization will not move at the same rate and we'll move in different areas. It's, again, without gushing, I don't know of a better document.
I'll admit, I haven't looked at that one, so I will. But you know, Todd, this kind of loops us back around to this ecological approach to the system where we've been so linear and in an engineering paradigm. And that is an evolution I believe we're making great progress on, not only in the nuclear industry, but in industry generally.
I agree.
And that is, it's so timely. I think it's so critical. And how do we recognize, to your point, what must be and works well to be a compliance-based linear process? And where do we need to be more adaptive and dynamic in the way that we're operating?
And don't you feel the answer at some level, at least in this stage of the discussion, is in complexity?
Absolutely.
So complexity's become really super interesting.
Well, it's always been interesting.
It was used incorrectly today, though, with the brilliant, brilliant presentation, but the Rubik's Cube.
Oh, so I didn't see that.
This is complex. So
that's not complex.
That's complicated.
Yeah.
And we still, this again speaks to the importance of nomenclature, and let's be clear on how we're defining things.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons I use Jenga blocks for complexity, because it's...
because that is always shifting.
Yeah, and it's a really super attainable, non-algorithmic... I mean, the biggest problem, you're exactly right, the biggest problem with the Rubik's Cube is it's just an algorithm.
Once you figure the rules of the game...
Yeah, once you're good at math, you're whipping...
That's it.
I mean, I'll never be that person, because A, I don't really understand the rules of the game, and B, I don't care. So,
that's more the truth.
Yeah, that's kind of put me in that position as well. But I think that notion of organizations realizing the difference between complicated and complex, which, you know, at the surface level sounds like, well, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Well, that's actually a huge difference.
Huge. So, and if that insight came and we were able to discriminate, again, hat off to Snowden, if we're able to discriminate, when am I in a complicated situation?
Right.
I can apply those linear protocols. And when am I moving into complex space and I need to relax and be more adaptive? If we can train that, that's like application of HOP. If we can help develop that in programs like we used to run with the on-ramp, and
right,
the
right,
safe,
right.
Think of how much more agile and aware our workforce would be.
I've had the most success talking about complexity and complicated by helping them understand the resolutions. So a complicated system, you simplify.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's complicated,
so
make it simple. The solution for complexity is not simplification, because you can't simplify a complex system. The solution for complexity is transparency. So you make the complex couplings known. And when we know those complex couplings exist, then we can monitor those complex couplings if we need to. But it helps us really understand the system. It's a very, very good tool to help provide that delineation.
Okay, so we'll have to get clear on how you're defining coupling, because when I think of a complex system, those couplings are tight and loose indiscriminately and dynamically.
So first of all, yes, sister. Secondly, this is the very argument that Martha and I have pretty much with great regularity, is that I want the couplings to be tight, and Martha says a complex system has loose couplings. The crazy thing is everybody's right.
I think both exist.
Oh, no.
That's what a dynamic system is.
Yeah, everybody's right.
Yeah.
But my goal for talking about complexity is more instructional. So I'm not going to teach complex theories. I'm not going to teach complexity physics, because A, I wouldn't know how, and B, I don't have the time. But I want them to identify that in a complex system, those couplings are what matter, tight or loose.
And then maybe the trick is, because I can hang with that, and this comes back to what is the way we can better prepare a very dynamic workforce.
In a non-predictive way.
In a non-predictive
way. Non-linear, non-Newtonian.
Right.
Complex.
How to recognize what state those couplings are in.
So I've gotten overly fixated currently with chaos physics.
Okay.
Have you followed any of this?
I know a little bit about it.
So chaos physics identifies patterns early.
Yes.
And then trends patterns out. So they look for the couplings, but they look for the pattern of the couplings. And where it's mostly effective right now, I think this is actually going to go really far.
Yeah.
It's mostly effective in biophysics.
Okay.
So disease modeling, that kind of stuff, they can look at like an RNA chain or a DNA chain, and they can look for, using complex physics, they can look for patterns that are repeated, he says, making air quotes, because in complex physics, it could be like twice in 60 million times, or I mean, it's complex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really powerful.
I can imagine.
What's been interesting is that, so that won the Nobel Prize this year.
Rightly so.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. What's interesting is that the complex physics community, because of a scientist named Carissa Sanbonmatsu, who listens a lot to this podcast, because she better, I've known her for 30 years, is starting to see real crossovers in what we're talking about in our world and the chaos physics, and actually wants to do a paper on it. So, which could be pretty interesting.
That would evolve us tremendously. You know, Todd, I wonder, I mean, that is all probably, I'm assuming, mathematically grounded. And when I think about leadership, the way that I conceive of leadership, again, is this relational aspect that leaders see those patterns in the very nuanced data points that exist within society. And it goes across art and literature and the politics and the environment they're currently working in. It all comes together. And leaders see those patterns in this dynamic way. And there's tight couplings and there's loose couplings.
Yeah.
And that's what forms the flow of the pattern.
See, and that's going to be really interesting.
Do you think that's resonating?
Absolutely. And what I think is even more interesting is Decker came in to talk about his Blame book because he wants to sell it, which is fine. He ended up really talking about forgiveness because it was that loose relationship between sort of, you can't, if you're not going to blame, then you have to forgive.
Two sides of the same.
It was super interesting discussion.
That's
so what's the future? What do you got planned ahead? What's exciting about you guys? Lots of world travel.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But
except for the airport part and the plane part.
And the jet lag part.
And the jet lag
part.
You
can't even find words to say jet lag. Yeah, that. But here's the cool thing, and I don't know, Todd, after you and I worked at Los Alamos, I think you pick up on people very quickly. I think you know that I'm like a change driver, and I want to ensure that we set up the nuclear industry, and I mean industry, from the regulator to the owner-operator to the governmental organizations that stand behind nuclear, that we are recognizing that we can be both grounded and stable and dynamic and changeable. And so not only to put a publication, which we'll have one, right?
Yeah.
David Provan's a part of that team. Sydney is a part of the peer review. But more importantly, and this is where maybe you'll come in eventually, how do we then go to the member states and give them the tools where they can practice in a safe to fail way how to be more discriminating, more aware of their context? Do I need to be controlling? Do I need to be flexible here? How do I adapt? What decisions am I making? Is it naturalistic and momentary? Or can I be thoughtful, but then acting? So awareness. Right. Adaptability and acting.
In highly specific cultural environments.
Absolutely.
So either in highly collectivistic cultures or non-collectivistic cultures, which are incredibly different.
And then to the point that was brought up today on the panel, they have to own it. It's not the IAEA who's going to come in and like fix it for them. It's a train the trainer kind of thing where we go and help member states set up within their context and they continue the practice of educating and strengthening these capabilities, resilient capabilities.
Have you thought about rewriting the IMPO book?
No.
Book one and book two?
So
IMPO wrote the kind of the seminal human performance book. There's the book one, which is the theory.
Okay.
And book two, which is the tools. then DOE modernized that book greatly.
Well, Wano actually took over all of the IMPO stuff.
Yeah.
And they have the attributes.
So you should have all that stuff.
I have all of it. I love Wano. Let me just.
But it needs to be. Yeah. And the good thing is that the Wano document, you could probably go to the DOE document, which is a little bit more vibrant. It's a little bit more recently alive. But I would really kick around just in your mind the power that that fundamentals documents had in sort of crossing cultures. Because it's a written document. And so it's much less attuned to actual delivery and discussion, because you live in a world, you live in a world now that expects confrontation, but you deliver in worlds that expect collective agreement. And so it's interesting.
Great observation.
Thanks for your time. This has been great.
Todd, thank you.
No, you're the best.
So happy we finally met.
Absolutely. Perfect.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Told you you'd like that conversation and a great conversation. I told you it would be fun. And I really appreciated the opportunity. It was like getting together with an old friend. It was really nice and fun and interesting. And there's so much more. We'll have to have this conversation again. Actually, I want to have this conversation again. So I bet we do it. That's that easy. And to answer my opening question, and this is a word I got from Lisa, people who are being resilient are resiliors. How about that? I like that. I like that a lot. That's the pod. That's everything that we needed to listen to. We've got lots of cool stuff coming up. Just hold on. You're going to love it. I promise you. Until then, learn something new every single day. Bet you did today. Have as much fun as you possibly can. Be good to each other. Be kind to each other. And for goodness sakes, you guys, be safe.